Well, I'm Rachel. Hey, guys.
Hi, Rachel.
So I'm going to start off, I'm going to tell you just a little bit of what I used to be like, just so that maybe I can relate to a few of you and a few of you can relate to me. Growing up, I lost my father at a very young age. I was 7 years old when he passed away. So since the time of seven, I always had this empty void in my life, whether it be the love of my earthly father or the love of my heavenly father. So I had a mother, well, I still have her. My mother was never emotional, never showed emotion, never cried, even when my father passed away. I don't ever remember watching her cry or mourn. She was a very strong woman, very independent, very kind of distant woman when it came to her kids. So growing up, I built a resentment against God at a very young age, 7 years old. I was very angry at God. I didn't understand why he would leave a little girl fatherless. I didn't understand why he didn't cure him. I didn't understand why nobody explained these things to me. I don't ever remember asking questions. I just remember kind of going through the motions, going to church. My mother took us to church every Sunday. I have a brother who's 18 months younger than I am, and we were very close. And a sister who's 7 years older than me, who was like the overachiever, has her doctorate's degree, lives in Naples, Florida. So growing up, I was always trying to fill this void. I tried to fill it with friends, fitting in. I tried to fill it with relationships, attention. I tried to fill it with food. I remember hiding behind my recliner with a Nestle Quick tin, eating the chocolate with a spoon and like hiding and doing those things, you know, like right there was probably a big sign to anybody who was hip to this kind of sin nature that we suffer from, you know, what was going on. I started smoking pot in sixth grade very frequently. I started dabbling in prescription medication in seventh grade, and it just progressed from there. I got pregnant at a young age, 17, moved out, was on my own, graduated from high school early, had my own house. I mean, I grew up really fast. I never had anybody there to, my mom worked 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. She would come home, drink a couple martinis, pass out, wake up, and do it all over again. And my mom is like, she's like an alcoholic of a type that I've never seen. She's never had a ticket, never been in trouble, never has suffered a consequence for her drinking, but yet steadily drinks daily. So I started feeling some consequences in my early 20s, going to jail for driving under suspension, dabbling in everything. Anything that was put in front of me, I never turned it down. I was always trying to get out of Rachel. I wanted to feel anything but what I was feeling at that moment, and I would take anything that I could get my hands on. People ask, you know, they ask me, like, what was your drug of choice? You know, to me, it's, we don't have a choice. It's, what drug did you have in your pocket? That was my choice. I would take my daughter to church on holidays and during vacation Bible school because that's what my mom did for me. I remember always feeling when I walked through those doors like I was about to catch on fire. Like, I grew up in a Nazarene church, so it was very stale, very stagnant. I wasn't really accepted because I had had a child out of wedlock. My grandfather built the church, literally built the church brick by brick, you know, with his hands. So it was kind of like we came with the church. So it was like you had to accept me, even though I know you didn't, but you kind of had to. I got pregnant again in my mid-20s with twins. And I remember feeling so covered in shame and guilt, man, because I already had one child out of wedlock. And now this is my second pregnancy with a different father. You know, even though I had been in a 10-year relationship with this man, I still didn't marry him. He was Catholic. There were conflicting viewpoints on whether I should sign a prenup, you know, like I mean, and I drank, and I did a lot of hurtful things, you know. A normal person would want me to sign a prenup, if you know what I'm saying. Like, I was not, I wasn't a very trustworthy person. So I got pregnant again, and I remember thinking, like, God, what are you doing? Like, is this some sick joke? Like, I really thought he was like, ha 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 ha, you know what I mean, towards me. And I was thinking, what am I going to do? Like, I'm pregnant with two babies, not married. I couldn't keep a stable job, even though I always kept a job. I with my drug use, it was never for a very long period of time. And I was scared to death. Ended up having the boys and moving north, and that was a very dark period in my life. And I ended up coming home, and I left their dad, and I was self-will run riot, and it got ugly, so I married a police officer because we were in the middle of a custody dispute, and I thought, well, of course I'm going to get my kids back, even though I couldn't pass a drug test to save my life. I'm going to marry this police officer and all is going to be well. That didn't work out. I continued to use, and the darkness and the emptiness and my spirituality just continued to die and wither to almost to a point where I had become addicted to inhalants, and I had lost everything. And I remember being homeless, living in a tent, and sucking on these cans of Duster to the point where when I woke up, I was angry at God because I came to. I couldn't get numb enough, and I couldn't get high enough, and I couldn't do enough to not wake up. And now through this, I believe that God truly sits us still long enough so that we can hear him. So he sat me still quite a few times. I am what you call a habitual offender when you run my social. So every time he would sit me still, I would have these moments where I could hear him, and I would pick up my Bible and I would read. And I remember doing a long stint in the dungeon in Middletown City, and these women came from a church, and there's a gate in a hallway, and we would all go to the end of this gate and sit at this gate and listen to these women that came. And one Sunday, I'm sitting down on the floor, and I'm right up against the gate, and I'm listening, and they're closing out and they're asking, and I just hear God just pounding on my heart, just pounding on it. Like, how long are you going to continue? How much more do you have in you? And I remember I was so beaten, so broken, so empty, so tired. And at that moment, and it's like it was yesterday, like I tear up thinking about it, I was saved. I asked Christ to come in and save my soul. So, but that didn't stop me, right? Because I invited him in, but I didn't chase him, okay? I didn't seek him the way he was seeking me. And so I continued because it was like I had no way out. There was no ending. There was no light at the tunnel. I didn't know where to go. I had nothing. I had burnt every single bridge. So I continued on. And it wasn't long after that when he sat me still again for a long time, this time. And I picked the Bible up and had some really profound realizations to myself, like, maybe I do need help. Maybe I do need treatment. Maybe this thing isn't really working out for me, you know? I need something greater and more powerful than myself to help me get through this. I signed myself up for women's recovery, and from Warren County, they let me out, and they said, you have an hour and a half to get from Warren County to women's. And my stepbrother picked me up with his girlfriend. They were drinking the whole way there. And I sat in the back seat with my daughter, and I rode to treatment. And during that time, it's like, you know, I came to a point in my life where it's like I could no longer do what I was doing, and the things that I was doing was no longer acceptable to me. I knew I needed a change, and I knew that God could do it, but I didn't know how to get to God. I had no idea how to get to him. So, like, I believe that God gives us tools, like Alcoholics Anonymous and 12-step programs, to be able to clear out that gutter that we have crammed so much stuff in, and be able to clear that out and be able to see and feel the sunlight of the Spirit is what the book talks about. I was able to work the steps, and I started going to church, and things started getting really good, really fast. You know, I had a house, I had two cars, I had a good job. During that whole time, like, I'm with my husband, and we're seeking God, and we're going to church, and, you know, praying. So I start working, and the hours are grueling, the money is good, and material things start flooding in, and I stop seeking him, and I stop praying in the morning. It's the little things that I stop doing. I stop meeting with the women that I was sponsoring, and little things would come in, and I would just allow them. Just like little sins would come in, like lying or, you know, stealing a little bit from work or writing off a free meal, you know what I mean? You know, not giving back, you know, the full amount of, you know, somebody tipping me out and giving me an extra 20 and you know, I'm the manager, you ain't going to question what I say. And I, you know, just let you give me that extra 20. So little things like that started creeping back in, little sins and before I knew it, I was high again. And like, life shows up, and they tell us when we get sober, because see, we're wired differently. I believe that we have this malady inside of us that, Pastor Josh says we're bent towards sin. We are naturally bent that way. I think as addicts and alcoholics, like, we are face down backwards that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, we are slightly more crooked and bent than the average Joe. My worst fears came to fruition that my daughter was just like me. She was drinking and doing drugs, and I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't go to God with it. I didn't go to anybody with it. My pride and ego said, you'll solve this. And then the other part said, well, you don't even have to deal with it. Like, I know You know, the enemy told me, I know how you can just not deal with this. And that's to get high. And that's what I did. But thank God that there's people in my life, my husband, who loves me enough and who knows me deep enough to know that when I picked up, I needed to be locked up because that was the only thing that was going to stop me. And that was the honest truth. Literally, I picked up, and 24 hours later, my husband, I had 2 felonies and 6 misdemeanors on me, okay? And in Greene County Jail. And that was exactly what I needed. And I am so grateful for those felonies and those misdemeanors. And that sounds crazy, but it's the truth. God sat me still once again, you know? And the amount of grace and mercy and humility that I received in those 7 days and those 8 charges are absolutely, they're priceless. They really are. You know, God showed me and proved to me that not only I cannot drive or steer or even think about getting behind the wheel of my own life, but when I do, he puts people in my life like my husband and my friends who know exactly what's best for me when I think I know everything. And that's one of my biggest is the pride and the ego when, you know, when we say we have to die to self, when, you know, the Bible talks about dying to self. That's killing our pride and killing our ego. So after that, I was on a spiritual level that I had been absolutely catapulted to a whole nother realm when it came to like seeing and feeling and knowing who was in control of my life, and it was not me. We would go to different, we started at AHOP and then we went to Medway, and I called it, we were like church gypsies is what I called us, because I knew that I knew that I loved God and I knew that I was madly in love with Jesus, but I didn't know anything about the man, you know? I knew what he did, and I knew what that cost him, but I didn't know the word. I didn't know the truth. I knew that feeling, that I knew the feeling of the Holy Spirit. I knew that because he would consume me when I was there, and I could feel him. But I never heard the truth, and I never heard, I never seen a Bible opened. And so we kept being invited over and over, like, come to Lighthouse, come to Lighthouse, come to Lighthouse. Hey, I'm getting married, come to Lighthouse. I'm like, okay, you know, we'll go to Lighthouse. So we came here, and we watched our dear friends get married, and it was beautiful. And they said, you know, come back, you know. And so we finally showed up for one Friday night, and it was a good Friday night. And then we came back for Sunday. And it's like, even though, like, we knew we were getting the word, and we knew, like, we walked out of here one Sunday. I remember we sat right over there, and we walked out of here cut up. I mean, tore down. Like, I was doubled over walking out of here because, man, the truth is sharp, man, you know? And it was exactly what I needed. That's right. The way God works, man, and the way that I've seen him work in my life has been absolutely unbelievable. You know, I don't smoke cigarettes anymore. Amen. You know, I don't... 18 pounds heavier, but I don't have cancer. But I mean, this word right here, this has showed me and taught me how to be a mother, how to be a wife, how to be a woman of God, and how to walk like a woman of God. Not only talk about it, not only go through the motions, but practice it, man, and practice it in every area of my life. And, you know, you get the same Rachel sitting here every Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, and any other day I can get through these doors that you get sitting at my dining room table or sitting at my desk at work. You're going to get the same Rachel. Like, I've seen God work in my family, and, you know, when you just feel so defeated and when you feel like nothing, you like your prayers aren't being heard and nothing you do matters, and you just get kind of stagnant and stale, and it's like you're just going through the motions, and then all of a sudden God works a miracle in your life and you're just like, wow, like there you are, you know, like praying for my 15-year-old daughter. She went to church camp, and this girl, they just lost her and her sister just lost their mother a couple months ago, and it had gotten really bad. They were really struggling. She was really struggling. She's 15. But just to watch God get a hold of her heart and change her and just plant that seed, a seed I never had planted in my heart at that age, is amazing. And to know that, like, he gave me this daughter to water, you know, it's like here, it's like he says, here, I planted this seed, now it's up to you to water her, you know, keep her safe and protect it and help her grow. It's amazing today. I mean, everything that I freely gave away when I was out there in the world, God has given back to me sevenfold, easy. I've been doing this First Peter study, and I do want to share, like, I love it. I absolutely love it. But I do want to close out with 1 Peter 5:5, where it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And then I have the pastor written right there. Ye all of you subject to one another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And last night I was Googling, I'm like, you know, I'm just going to Google, how many times in the Bible does it say be sober? And it popped up like 100 times. Like, here's 100 times where the Bible tells us to be sober. And it's like today, like, you know, God has completely shaken my world upside down and changed me from the inside out. The Alcoholic Anonymous book talks about we're going to have a psychic change, a complete psychic change. And that's what God does, man. He gives that to you. And I am just so grateful to have a second chance. And I'm so grateful to just be able to share my testimony here tonight, just a little bit. You know, a testimony is a lot different from a lead. You know, just the amount of grace and the mercy that he's poured down on me is absolutely beautiful. And like I always say, like, I am a beautiful daughter of the one true King, and that's a fact. And that's all I have.